like to greet and welcome each one here this morning. Truly, it's been a blessing and a real joy to be here ready this morning. Thank you, Keith, also for the effort and time you put in this morning to lead us in the thoughts and in singing. It's just been a real inspiration. To welcome each one here. Thank you, visitors, for spending time with us here this morning. I'd like to welcome you. Also, those who we see are back, glad to have Leona with us here this morning again, and see Ashley's back as well. Glad to have you back, and trust that this morning as we're together, we could all be together for the rest of the time here. As we continue to look into the Word of God, that we can be inspired, and first of all, that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, could be honored through this. For a message this morning, we'd like to continue to look or speak about the season we find ourselves in. I'd like to use an acronym this morning of the word Christmas for the message, and bring out the every letter of the word Christmas for a part in the message here this morning. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 1. If we think about the word Christmas, you have the first letter C. I'd like to have that as Christ Jesus. And I think Jesus is the real reason for the season. He's the one who was born. He's the one whose birth we're celebrating. He came as a child. He lived upon this earth for a number of years. He was crucified. He went to the cross there. He was buried. He abolished death. He rose. He lived on this earth a few more days, and then he interceded into heaven. He's now at the right hand of his Father, interceding for us. And we're grateful for that that all happened. Matthew chapter 1. Verses 16 to 25 says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet by the prophets, which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophets, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, as we think about the birth, we think about the birth of a child, any child, it's a miracle. But as we think about the birth of Jesus here, and how Mary, a virgin, was born out of a virgin. Mary conceived by the Holy Ghost. A child Jesus she brought forth into this world. Christ Jesus. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The greatest gift that mankind was ever offered was Jesus, offered to him by his Father God, offered to all mankind throughout the whole world. Now, if you think about a gift is something that is offered. There's no price with it. There's no obligation to pay for it, but it's a gift. I did some research and came across some statistics that would tell you how much money is spent over the Christmas season. Total holiday spending is projected to exceed $1 trillion in USA today over this Christmas season. The average consumer spending on gifts is expected to be around $900 per person. Food and beverage expenses during the season may reach $200 billion. Travel expenses for the holiday could surpass $50 billion. Decorations and seasonal items are estimated to contribute an additional $15 billion. Now, if you stop and think about that, the enormous and outrageous amount of money that is spent over the Christmas season. And yet, these things are all fleeting. These things are all stuff, things that won't last. And yet, so many people do not accept the free gift that God offers to all mankind. It's free. And as we celebrate this Christmas season, let's remember the reason for the season. God gave his gift, his only son, Jesus, down onto earth as a babe, as a Messiah, for us as his people. Romans 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Ephesians 2 verse 8 tells us, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Grace, the gift of God. Jesus, the gift given to us by God. The second letter, H, we have hope. This Jesus, we God's gift, we find our hope in. Romans 5, the first five verses there. You can turn with me there if you like. Romans 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." That's the hope that we have. That's the hope we can find in this gift, Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Titus tells us that we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then Psalm 71, verse 5 tells us, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." Are you reaching out? Are we claiming that hope that we can have in Jesus Christ, the gift that God has given to us? The third letter, the letter R. Now, these words do not all start with the letter in Christmas, but I have the word incarnate, the letter R in incarnate, for R. Now, the word incarnate is not found in the King James Bible, but it's written all over. It's spoken a lot about. Jesus, the Son of God, took on human flesh. John 1 verse 14 says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Bible speaks about, throughout the Bible, it speaks about Jesus' life here on this earth. The humanity of Jesus. The gospel reports Jesus' human needs. It talks about Jesus sleeping. Luke 8 verse 23. There where he was out in the waters, and he was in the boat there, and he said he fell asleep. And there's a storm came up, and the disciples woke him. They were afraid, but Jesus was asleep. Matthew 8 verse 23. "But as they sailed, he fell asleep." And there came down a storm of the wind of the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. It speaks about food. In Matthew 21, verse 18, Jesus was hungry. It says he hungered. It speaks about his physical protection. Matthew 2, verse 13, his parents fled with him when they found out that the king is out to take his life. There's other indications of his humanity in throughout the word. In Luke 22, verse 42, verse 44, it says he sweat. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus bled. There in John 19, verse 34, when he was on the cross, the soldiers pierced his side there. And it says blood and water came out of there. Jesus also expressed emotions throughout the word, throughout the Bible. John 15, verse 11, he speaks about my joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. He speaks about being sorrowful. In Matthew 26, chapter 26, verse 37, when he took his two disciples there, he says he began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. That was when he was in the garden. Jesus was angry. In Mark 3, verse 5, it says, when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand restored while whole as the other. The account there, when they accused Jesus of healing there on the Sabbath. So Jesus was incarnate. He was human as he lived upon this earth. The fourth one is I, Prince of Peace, found in the word Prince. John 9, verse 6, this verse was already read this morning, says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Ephesians 2. Verses 14, 15, and 17 speak about peace. It says, he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And then verse 17, and came and preached peace to you, which was afar off, and to them which are nigh. Jesus' own words in John 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As I was thinking about peace, the Prince of Peace, Prophet Isaiah prophesied that he's going to be the Prince of Peace. Jesus himself said, his peace he leaves with us. You know, you don't have to follow the news much at all to know that the world is in chaos. There's not much peace in the world. You listen to the news or you read the news, it's a very common thing of shootings, of abuse, fightings, war. There's lawsuits. Those are all void of peace. Then I have to think about our own selves, our lives, our churches, our homes. Are we experiencing peace? You know, we find ourselves in churches sometimes where there's divisions. There's splits and splinters. And we even try and justify the actions instead of promoting and incurring restitution. Jesus came and offered to us the Prince of Peace. Broken homes, broken marriages. How do we respond to these? Are we promoting peace? Are we promoting restoration? Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Peace, the Prince of Peace. There's nothing better than to have just the absolute peace in our hearts as we think about our lives. Are you experiencing that peace this morning? Are you promoting that peace? Are you encouraging that peace to those around you, to those that you find yourselves in contact with, or you find yourselves rubbing shoulders with every day. The fifth one, the letter S. Savior. Matthew 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is the reason for his coming into the world. He came to make an atonement for us. He came to destroy sin, came to deliver us from the power of guilt and the pollution of sin. It's a privilege that every one of us, as a child of God, has, that we can claim Jesus Christ as our Savior, the one who has abolished sin. He gives us the power to live a life of victory and a life free of sin. The perfection of the gospel is not that it makes allowances for sin, but it's that it makes an atonement for it. It doesn't tolerate sin, but it destroys sin. He's our Savior. He's our substitute. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. He was given as a sacrifice. And Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He's our Savior. He came as our Savior to be our substitute and to be our sacrifice. The letter T, taken from the word Father, the everlasting Father, as we heard about this morning and Isaiah prophesied. Everlasting Father, he knows every detail, past, present, and future. Psalm 139:4 says, even before a word is on my mouth, you know all about it, O Lord. His knowledge encompasses not only the events we witness, but also the thoughts and intentions of every heart. And as we find ourselves in doubt, as we find ourselves discouraged, we find ourselves in circumstances that we can't control, we can rest in the fact that he sees, he understands more than we ever could. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. He's a provider, and he's our protector. He's our everlasting Father. The seventh one is mercies, for the letter M. Psalm 103, verse 4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The mercies of God are new every morning. Do we thank the Lord for that? Do we thank Jesus for his great mercies upon us? You know, every one of us deserves to be doomed because of our lives, our human flesh. But God shows his tender mercies to us every morning. They are new. Psalm 145, verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The eighth one, the letter A, assurance. I'm grateful this morning that we can have the assurance of salvation, the assurance of Jesus. 1 John 5, verse 13 says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Notice how it says there, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. If you believe on the name of Son of God this morning, you may know that you have eternal life. That's a tremendous blessing, a tremendous promise that we can know that we have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's not a blind reliance, but it's an actual enjoyment of salvation. Christ living, Christ working, and Christ reigning in our hearts. We can know that. And I'm grateful for that this morning. 1 John 1, verse 2. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then Hebrews 10, verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. We can draw nigh to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. What a tremendous opportunity. What a tremendous blessing. And then the last one, the S is for Spirit, the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 16 and 17 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that ye may abide with, that he may abide with you forever. John 14, verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. You know, today we're here, and we say that Jesus is present with us here. He's not present with us in body and human form, but he's here in spirit, and he's here in truth. He has sent the Comforter. He has sent his Spirit that can dwell in us. And we can have that, and we can communicate with Christ, with Jesus, with the Spirit. So as we're here this Christmas season, may we honor and worship Jesus our Lord, the Savior of mankind, the gift of God to mankind. And as we accept this gift, the blessings of peace and hope we can experience in this life. And that is my prayer for each one here this morning. I'd like to close with a poem that goes this way. It says, in the hush of a stable, neath a Bethlehem star, the true meaning of Christmas traveled afar. May this message of love, like a heavenly dove, grace your life with warmth and the blessings from above. In the glow of the manger, where the Savior lay, may his light shine on you, brightening your way. This Christmas season, may his love gently flow, filling your hearts with joy as the winter winds blow. May your home be aglow with his peace from above, wrapped in the warmth of his boundless love. As you gather with family in spirit of God's light, may the true meaning of Christmas make your spirits bright. May that be our experience as we enter into the Christmas season, as we experience the Christmas season, that we can experience the peace and not allow the hustle and the bustle of the season to destroy our peace, but that we can experience peace with God. The gift that God gave us to us, the greatest gift that we can ever experience. Shall we kneel? Prayer.